Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. On this morning. Another day the Lord has made. It is now 9 o'clock here on July the 19th, 2020. So I am glad to see everyone on this brand new day that God has made. I'm grateful for each one of you. I hope you came expecting to hear and receive from the Lord the word that he has for us. I'm just a vessel, you know that. Come expecting to hear from the Lord and not from Velma. Velma is just an instrument. So come expecting, and that's what I mean when I say bring your basket, the basket of your heart, the basket of your mind, the basket of wanting to submit to the will of God and wanting to obey him in every way. So I'm glad that you are here. I encourage you to continue to invite others to come. And Sister Marsha let me know that my picture may be coming through a little dark, but the main thing is that you can hear me. That's the main thing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So I want to encourage you to continue to invite others to join us on Zoom. Anyone who has access to the internet can join in any part of the United States, in any part of the world. If they have access to the internet, just send them the meeting ID number and they can log in and Zoom in and be right in class with us. We have several states with other people joining us and we welcome them. I myself, as you know, most of you know, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. But I'm glad to see the other states that are joining in with Zoom as we study together the word of the Lord. I hope you have your Bibles. You always need your Bibles with this class. This indeed is a Bible class. And if you go to any Bible study and you never have to open your Bible, that is a cue that something is way off and wrong. And there are Bible studies where you never really open the Bible. So that's a cue to you, something's not right if you're in a Bible study and you don't need your Bibles. In this class, the Word of God is what we use. We compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this brand new day that you have made, and only you, Lord, can make a day. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We say hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your Son. Hallelujah to your Spirit. Hallelujah to your word. Hallelujah to your will, Lord. We praise your will. Hallelujah to your wisdom and hallelujah to your presence. Hallelujah to your great love for us, Lord God, your patience and your kindness. Hallelujah to the blood of Jesus that never loses its power. Hallelujah to the resurrected Christ who intercedes for us and who is our advocate. Hallelujah to your plan, Lord God, and to your kingdom. And hallelujah, Lord, we praise you even for this Zoom class. And we ask you now, Lord, to join in. Be thou our teacher and our guide. Use me in thy service. And Lord, we want to know you and know you in the power of your resurrection. So we ask you even now to reveal yourself to us as we continue on in our study from your word from Luke chapter 9. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that continually cleanses. And we pray, Lord, that you would remove anything that would stand between us and you. Now we pray for clearness of mind, Lord God. We gather every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And we ask you now to speak to us, Lord. Speak, for we, your children, we stand attentive to hear from you. Feed us, Lord, with manna from on high. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are going to continue now in our study from Luke chapter 9. And I'd like to welcome all first timers. There may be some first time people joining us, first time to this class, not necessarily first time in a Bible study, but first time to this Zoom class. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I'm the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Sister Marsha Hall is the ministry leader. Pastor Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Back is the pastor. So that's the umbrella that I come up on in this class. And we gather in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. So that's the name we gather in. We don't gather together in the name of Salem. We don't gather together in the name of Contemporary Bible Class. We don't gather together in the name of Velma. We gather together in the name of Jesus. Amen. So that's the only name that the Lord promised that he would be with us is in when we gather in that name. So together to today, continuing on in Luke chapter 9, our focus of scripture today will be from verses 18 through 22. On last week, we spent a lot of time on verse 18 and the power of Jesus's prayers. And we saw on last week, whenever the Lord Jesus prays, look for some advancement in the kingdom of God. We spent a lot of time on that last week. And that reminds me to remind you that all of these lessons are now on my website, godswordalive.net. You can find last week's lesson as well as other lessons on my website, godswordalive.net. So if you happen to miss a Sunday, just go out there and the lessons will be there. So Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Now let me begin today by, I am notorious for reviewing, but we can't spend a lot of time in review, but to bring everyone up to where we've been, what we've been studying and what we've been talking about, as well as for us to all get on the same road here and get our minds and our hearts steered in the right direction. We have seen in previous weeks that Luke chapter 9 is a transitional chapter. It is turning the corner. We have been moving from Luke chapter 1, and we saw the early parts of Luke chapter 1 with Luke, with John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ is born. We saw Jesus being anointed for public ministry in chapter 4. And we saw the crowds following Jesus. We saw Jesus calling his disciples and the crowds following Jesus and him ministering to them in many ways. We have seen that. But now that we're in Luke chapter 9, which turns the corner, which is going to steer us in a different direction, which is transitional, the first thing that we see in chapter 9 that we had not seen is Jesus sends the disciples on their first solo mission. They have been following Jesus, learning from him, receiving instruction from him, and now he sends them on their first solo mission. And they had a successful mission trip. They came back with a good report. And that's in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And then we see, we will see from now on out, how the crowds who have been consistently and regularly around Jesus Christ and the disciples, and even though the crowd will still be around, they will even show up in chapter 9. But even though the crowd is still around, the crowd will fade into the background. The crowd will fade into the background. And what comes more and more into the forefront now is the work of the disciples. It's also Jesus teaching, continuing to teach the disciples more and more. And he is beginning, we're turning the corner, a big corner here now, going off into a, you know, different airports and you have different concourses. Well, we're going into a whole nother concourse now, because for the first time in Luke chapter 9, and we talked about this on last week and we'll say more about it today, we saw that Jesus is confessed as the Christ for the first time in Luke. And that is in Luke chapter 9 here in verse 20. Jesus Christ is confessed as Lord for the first time in Luke by the disciples, confessed as Christ. And then we see immediately after the confession of Jesus as the Christ by the disciples. Now, I'm going to try to turn this computer slowly to get a little more light here. So Lord, help us. So after we see that, then the next thing that we immediately see in chapter 9, verse 22, in chapter 9, verse 22, for the first time, Jesus foretells and tells his disciples that he will be crucified. And this is the first time that we see now, and I'm going to use the expression, the shadow of the cross arises on the scene. And it's if, you know, when you're coming over a mountaintop or over a hill and you can see something, and even a sunrise, you can see the sun coming up slowly. And think of that picture of the cross. And here the cross, Calvary, peaks up, as it were, for the first time in Luke chapter 9. And that is in chapter 9, verse 22. And so these things are transitional in this chapter. But not only does Calvary come on the scene, and it does, but in accord with that, when we look at verse 44 and 45, verses 44, Luke chapter 9, verses 44 and 45, once again, Jesus says it again. Luke chapter 9, verse 44, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. He says it again. And that, you know, how that sunrise, and you can see, I mean, a little bit coming on up. And that will keep happening until we make it to Calvary. And so here's the first peak of Calvary coming on the scene. When we also look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says, it came to pass when the time had come. And notice, always notice in scripture, time words. The Bible is always given its own bullet points, its own outline, its own point number one, point number two, point number three. And those things are given in one way is by time words. And we see a time word here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. There's several of them. There's now it came to pass. Well, that's a time frame word. But it says when the time had come. The time had come, just like Zoom, class starts at 9 o'clock, and I got out here early because what? I knew 9 o'clock is coming. And so I got on out here into Zoom a little after 7. And I did that, made sure my computer's running and everything, because I know what? 9 o'clock is coming. And Jesus knows what? Calvary is on the way. And so he has to prepare the disciples for what lies ahead. Well, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Now it came to pass when the time had come. What time is it? You might say, well, what time is it? Well, here's the time. The time is not, we're not talking about 9 o'clock here or even 9:13. The time had come. What time is it? The time is for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And so turning the corner now, on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to Calvary, on the way, and therefore I must prepare the disciples for what lies ahead. And so Luke chapter 9 is transitional for those reasons and a few more. Now, our topic today, I plan on focusing today on the Christ of God. That will be our topic today, the Christ of God. And I'm going to let you know right offhand, there is no way at all that this topic can you can't exhaust it ever, but there's so much to the Christ of God that all we'll be doing today is just what the Lord leads me to do. By no means is this an exhaustive study on the Christ. Now, there's a time where we could have an exhaustive study on the Christ of God, and we would never exhaust. Who exhausts God? God is inexhaustible. He cannot be exhausted. But there's much, much, much more that could be said about the Christ. But I will be saying just a little what the Lord has led me to say today. We're not going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks on the Christ, because if we were to do that, you know, we're in the Gospel according to Luke. That is our study, is Luke. But because the Christ, we need to know what the Christ of God means. And there's many reasons for that. One, number one reason is because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you need to know who you're following. You need to know who you're following. If we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we mean by Lord? What do we mean by Jesus? What do we mean by Christ? And then one of our many names as Christians, we are Christians. And the name in that very name, Christians, is the word, the name, the title, Christ. So if anybody ought to knows what Christ means, it ought to be Christians. We don't hear too much about Christ and what all Christ means. And so that is my one of my goals for today, is that after this class is over with today, that we will all know more about Jesus, more about Christ. And so our theme for today is the Christ of God. Now, having said that, let's read our scripture. I will read. This is our home-based scripture for now. Luke chapter 9 is the, if you want to use the analogy of a baseball field, well, the name of our baseball field is Luke. That's the name of our field is Luke. That's where we're studying. But we are now on this base, Luke chapter 9. So Luke chapter 9, I will read verses 18 through 22. And it is my goal to, quote, finish those verses today, never exhausting it, never, I'm even unable to say all that is given, that God has given me. But what he gives me to say today, I plan on saying it today. And next week, Lord willing, we move on with verse 23. That's my goal right now. So Luke chapter 9, verse 18, I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. That's the version I use. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" So they answered and said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And so that's our reading for today, our passage that we'll be studying from today. Now let's hold Luke chapter 9. Now we're going to go to quite a few scriptures because that's how I teach. The Bible is its own commentary. And I want to say that make the Bible, the main book that you read. There are many good commentaries and there are many good references, and I have some of them. But the main thing you need to read along with prayer, keep your head in the Bible. The Bible is its own commentary, and we need, God has fixed it so that there are others who help. There are good commentaries, but you make sure that you are reading your Bible above everything else. More than anything else, read the Bible. It's its own commentary and comparing scripture with scripture. Now we're going to come back to Luke chapter 9, so hold that. But let's also see what Matthew had to say about this same scripture. So let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to see Matthew's recording of this same passage. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And so that's Matthew is telling us more about what happened around this same time. So we'll come back to Matthew, but I wanted to read that. So hold Matthew. You need bookmarks in my class too. Put a piece of paper there or something. So because we'll be coming back to Matthew. And you could see how Matthew had more to tell us about what happened, in particular with Peter there. So back to Luke chapter 9. Now, on last week, we found out as a result of Jesus's prayers, whenever Jesus prays, look for some advancement in the kingdom of God. And when Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 9, what we saw come forth was Peter was then able to confess, along with the other disciples, but Peter is the main one that the Holy Ghost brings to the forefront. Peter now confesses that Jesus is the Christ of God. And Peter was able to do that not because he figured it out, not because he read up on it, not because he was so smart. He was able to come to the knowledge in his heart and mind that Jesus is the Christ. Confess it with his heart, believe it in his heart, confess it with his mouth, and make an outward confession that Jesus is the Christ of God. And we saw that that came about as a result of prayer. Jesus praying for Peter. And he's also prayed for us. And we saw on last week where we went to the scripture that let us know, no man knows who the Son is. No one knows who Jesus is unless the Father reveals the Son to us. So I say that to say, we're going to talk about the Christ of God. Well, we need to say another prayer right now, and I'm going to lead that prayer. That Father, we know, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, knowing we can read words. You've given us the ability to read words, to even read this Bible, and we thank you for that. But reading alone will not reveal Jesus. And so we ask you by the power of the Holy Ghost, through the word of God, that you will reveal your Son to us, that we might know him, not just know about him, but we want to know Jesus. And we pray this in faith in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And so now we have asked the Father, because we've come to know. We can't just read about Jesus and learn about him. You can learn about him, but you will never know him that way. A whole lot of folks know a whole lot of things about Jesus, including church folks, including Christians. If anybody ought to know something about Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Lord, it ought to be church people and Christians. But there are some church who know about, and then there's a lot of people unchurched and sinners that know a lot about him, but don't know him. And that is possible to happen in the church, in the Zoom class as well, where you can know a lot about Jesus, but never know him. So we want to know him and know him in the power of his resurrection. So the Lord, now we're trusting God by faith, by the Holy Ghost, through the word of God, to reveal Jesus to us. Well, we know now Jesus is the Christ. We believe that as Christians, Jesus is the Christ. And something you also will say is Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he is. And the day will come, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that is in Philippians chapter 2, where the day will come, the time is coming. I don't know what time it is, but it's getting closer and closer with every passing second. The time is getting closer where every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, meaning people and all creation will bow and confess that Jesus, number one, Jesus Christ, second name title, is Lord. Jesus Christ, Lord. So we want to know, be familiar to some degree, even though we cannot say it all in class this morning, but we can know a little more about when we use the name Jesus, what are we talking about when we use the name Jesus? And then when we use the name, the title Christ, what exactly do we mean when we say Jesus Christ? And sometimes the Bible, when you're reading your Bibles, you'll notice sometimes it says Jesus Christ. Other times it'll say Christ Jesus. Sometimes it'll just say Jesus. And other times it'll say Christ all alone. Christ all alone. Jesus all alone. Sometimes Jesus Christ and sometimes Christ Jesus. Well, you need to ask, because God is a purposeful God. He does everything with purpose. You know, the great doxology in Jude says, to the only wise God. And God's not just mixing it up. Like, he's not just saying, well, I think I'll say Jesus Christ here, and I think I'll say Christ here, and I think I'll say Christ Jesus here. No, there's intent and purpose by God, the Holy Ghost, when those names are used. And so when you're studying the Bible, notice those things, even though you may not fully understand it. We'll never fully understand God. No one does. But at least we are aware now. Notice, why does it say that sometimes use these different names of the Lord? So we need to know about Jesus, that name, Christ, and also Lord. Now, in my invitation that I sent out to you, I sent out the Zoom invitation every week, and I put special notes on there. And I asked you to think about what would you say the name Jesus means, Christ and Lord, names and title, Jesus Christ, Lord. Well, Jesus, now, if you all are aware, if we had time in class, I could unmute and we could Zoom in and you could talk back to me and we could have a discussion. But for this class, 1 hour, we don't have time for a discussion. And so that will be another time, another day. Let me keep moving on. Jesus. Well, when you call the name Jesus, the name itself, let's turn to Matthew real quickly, Matthew chapter 1. And here's where the Bible becomes its own dictionary. The Bible is its own commentary, and the Bible is its own dictionary. Now, that does not say throw away your dictionaries, because when you're studying, you need Webster, and you need Bible dictionaries. You need all of that, but make sure the Bible is your number one book. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Make sure the Bible is your number one book, because if you don't, you will be off point. You will be off to some degree, off. We don't want to be off. This is too serious. Okay, so Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, talking about the name Jesus. And Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, and she, talking about Mary there, and she will bring forth a son. And notice in New King James, it's capital S. This is not a small, she's not going to have just a baby boy. She's going to bring forth a son, and that's the Son of God. Even though it doesn't say the Son of God there, she is bringing forth God's Son, capital S. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And you know, say when babies are born, today, when babies are born, one of the first things people want to know, though they'll want to know, is it a boy or is it a girl? Well, we found out it's a boy. We know right here in Matthew chapter 1, 21, she's going to bring forth a boy. And then we go, and then the next question people ask is, what did you name him? What is the name? Well, here's the name. And she will bring forth a son. She's going to have a boy. And you shall call his name Jesus. And here comes the Bible now, going to be its own dictionary. And when you see four in the Bible, F-O-R, you can always say, and it answers the question, why? Why? Because four means because. And so it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And we'll say, why are you going to name him Jesus? Because four. For he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. And there's the meaning of the name Jesus. Jesus means savior, salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. And the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, does not show up until the New Testament. You won't see the name Jesus in the Old Testament. You'll see Savior. You'll see salvation. And those are forms of the name Jesus. But the name Jesus doesn't show up until New Testament. And why is that? Well, that's when the baby is born. That's when the baby gets his name, when the baby is born. And so Savior, you'll see Savior all throughout the Old Testament. You'll see Joshua all throughout in the Old Testament, which means salvation is of the Lord. And you'll see Savior, but you don't see Jesus until you get to New Testament, because that's when the child comes forth. Well, also, when you think of Jesus, well, it tells us here, you call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save. That's the main. Now, there's a whole lot about Jesus. We know there's a lot about Jesus, more than we know. But the key core of the name Jesus is Savior. It means save. He will save. He will save. Save us from what? This is very important. He's going to save from sin. You got to bring sin into this picture. If you hear a message and there's no mention of a savior because of sin, it has fallen short. We need a savior because there is sin, because we have sinned, and all of that. See, the Bible is its own sermon too. All of that right here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, his bring forth a son. Whose son? It's God's son. And Mary was just a vessel. Call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus, because it's God's son, and God names his own child. Call his name Jesus. And then he tells us why. Because he will save. So Jesus means Savior. It's a form of Joshua. It means save, Savior. God is salvation. He will save his people from their sins. And so when we think of Jesus now, we think of Savior. But how does he save us? Now, if you're taking notes, and I've got my own little, you know, I take notes for a lot of reasons, and I write notes for a lot of reasons. But Jesus, underneath Jesus, you put Savior. And underneath Savior, how does he save? How does he save? How does he save? Well, you have to put the cross. Jesus Savior cross. And that's what you think of when you think of Jesus. Now, there's so much more. But if you leave out, he came to save from sin through the cross, his shed blood on the cross, you have missed it. And so now we know Jesus means Savior, not that we didn't know, but we all need to be reminded, and some are learning for the first time. There was a time I didn't know, and I had to learn. So Jesus means Savior, and Jesus saves from sin, and he did it through his blood on the cross. So Jesus is connected to Savior, is connected to the cross. Amen. But now we need to go on and find out the Christ. Jesus is Christ. He is Christ. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke, back to Luke. We could stay in Matthew, but let's go to Luke because Luke is our study. And let's look at several verses in Luke. And we're going on now to the title Christ. Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and let's start at verse 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And this is probably part one of our lesson today because time is moving. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. This is Gabriel talking to Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Okay, Matthew told us that. But now Luke is going to add on some more. He will be great. Amen. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. All right. Now, when you talk about Son of the Highest, well, Son, we've got Son, the capital S, Son. Now, I'll say more about that in a minute. Son of who? Son of Joseph? Son, Mary's son? Well, Son of, capital S, Son of the Highest, Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him, now we're moving to the title Christ. We're moving on now to the name, the title Christ. What does Christ mean? Well, Luke tells us here in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 32, he will be great. And will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, now I believe you can see we've transitioned, as it were, from talking about Savior. And God is all of that in one. Jesus is all of that in one. He is Jesus always. He is Christ always. He is Lord always. And when you think of the Old Testament tabernacle, and that Old Testament tabernacle had those curtains, had the veil and had the curtains, and it was interwoven with blue and purple and scarlet. And those three colors, blue, purple and scarlet, interwoven together, making one covering. And that is how it is with Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord, cannot be dissected in neat little pieces. I mean, he's the Almighty God, but there's these different beautiful threads and manifestations of our God. He is Jesus, Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. And so now Matthew told us some about Jesus, but Luke here in chapter 1, verse 32, he has moved on to tell us about Christ. He mentions Son of the Highest, but now the name Christ, and I'm going to come back to this verse in a moment. When you think of the name Christ, you think of, or we should think of, or we will be thinking of after today's class, when you think of Christ, what does Christ mean? Well, Christ means the anointed one. He is the anointed one. And Christ from the Old Testament, you're you're not going to find the word Christ. You can read from Genesis all the way to Malachi, and you will not find the name Jesus. You can read it again. Number two, I'm going to read it again and look for Christ this time. And you will not find the name title Christ, but you will find Messiah. You'll find Messiah. And you'll also see the different various times anointings are used. But Messiah is in the Old Testament. And so Messiah, Hebrew, Messiah, Christ, Christ, that's what we say today, Christ the Lord. So Christ is associated with Messiah. Same thing, Christ, Messiah, Christ, Messiah. And Christ meaning anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. Anointed for what? Anointed to do what? Well, we know he was anointed. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost at the Jordan River. He was anointed for that, for public ministry. But he is the eternal anointed one by God to be the king. Jesus is king. He is the king. So when you think of, now if you're taking notes, under Jesus, you have Savior, you have the cross. But now under Christ, you want to put Messiah. M-E-S-S-I-A-H, Messiah, anointed one. Well, what does that have to do about? What is that all about? King, put king there, and a kingdom. King and a kingdom. Christ has to do with king, and Christ has to do with a kingdom. And so if you had to put a little picture there under the Jesus, you had you drew a cross. Well, under Christ, draw a throne. So put a throne there. And if you can't draw it, just write it. T-H-R-O-N-E, throne. I can draw it either. But Christ, Messiah, anointed one, Christ, king, he's king. There's going to be some rule here and a kingdom and a throne. And so that's what Luke is letting us know. Luke said in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God. Now we're going to talk about Christ. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. Now that's fitting in with the Davidic covenant, which is a whole nother study that we could talk about, but we're not, because we don't have time. We wouldn't finish Luke for who knows how many years if we went every angle we could talk about in the Word of God. But we can see now Christ has to do with the throne of his father, David. And if you have a throne, well, verse 33 is logical. And he will reign, and he will reign, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. That's bringing in Israel now, bringing in Israel now, bringing in Israel, because Jesus is king of the Jews. Oh, yes, he is. Jesus is eternally king of the Jews. Might not look like it, but he is. And so we say, and when I say might not look like it, that's why I say when you pray, sometime pray the Lord's Prayer like he told us to pray it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Luke chapter 9, and there's more to the Lord's Prayer, you know. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. And he will reign, king reigning, over the house of Jacob. How long shall he reign? You know, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. All earthly kingdoms pass away. You know, and that's one reason people build statues and put pictures on stamps and pictures on our dollar bills, because those people died. They died. But Jesus is going to be the king that will reign forever. He's going to reign forever. He will reign over the house of Jacob. Now that's associated with Israel, over the house of Jacob forever, but don't limit it to Israel, because now it comes on, and of his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. He's going to reign over the world. He's the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the day will come where the king will reign. Now from behind the curtain, he's reigning even now. but it's behind the scenes, as it were. But the day will come where Jesus will be manifested, and that happens at the second coming of the Lord, and reigning for king, as king over Israel and king of the world. And so Jesus, we found out, Savior, the cross, Christ, Messiah, anointed, king and throne. Let's look at another scripture, and then we're going to talk about Lord for a moment. Jesus Christ is Lord. So Luke chapter 1, we saw verse 31 through 33. But let's go on to chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's start at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David. There's David showing up again. And you know, when David has something to do with that kingdom, David has something to do with the Christ. David has something to do with the throne. David has something to do with Messiah. And we know the city of David, Jerusalem. For there is born to you this day. There is born today, well, Jesus born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, Jesus, a Savior who is Christ, Messiah. And then it says the Lord, the Lord. So now we see in this verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we see Savior, we see Christ, we see Lord. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, Jesus, who is Christ, Christ the Lord. So now we know Jesus means Savior. It's associated with the cross. And Christ means Messiah. And I'm hesitating there because Jesus is Savior associated with the cross. But let's also say, and the empty tomb. Let's say the empty tomb too, and he rose from the dead. But he had to go through dying. He had to go through the cross, okay, to get the kingdom. It wasn't no shortcut to the kingdom. That's why I said he must suffer. He must suffer. He had to go through Calvary to get to the kingdom. Okay, so Christ, we know, is Messiah, anointed king, and throne. Well, he is Lord, because it says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So when you think of Lord, what do you think of? Well, Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah, anointed one, king. Well, Lord, what is Lord? Who is Lord? The title Lord. Lord, he's God. And that's what you put there, God. We talking about God. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, he is God. And so what you put underneath your note, Lord, is God. He is God. And then you put, he is the Son of God. That's the second person in the Godhead. He is the Son. The Son, eternally the Son of God. He's always been. He wasn't born the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. So upon the Lord you have, he's God, master, ruler. He's God. That's it. Lord means he's God. He's the Son of God. Okay? Now let's look at, now we're going to come back to Luke. But let's go for a moment to a couple of Old Testament scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, because we hear this scripture, especially around the Christmas season. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. It's the first book of prophecy, Isaiah chapter 9, one of the major prophets, the longest of the prophetic books, Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 6, but hold Luke. We're coming back to Luke. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. And this thread, I like to use the analogy of thread and a needle, it starts in Genesis and goes all the way throughout the Bible. Well, we just can't do that in our class. But let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 6. Very common scripture. Even, you know, many people know this scripture, even unchurched people. Luke chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born." Okay, notice that. "Unto us a child," capital C, "a child is born." And that's what Christmas is all about, the child being born. But that's not where the child started. It says the child is born. He had a birthday as the child. "Unto us a child is born, but unto us a son." He's always been God. He's always been the Son of God. So the child was born, but the Son was given. You all see that? The Son's always been, but the child was born in Bethlehem. But he was always the Son, always will be the Lord, Son of God. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us," we only have 5 minutes, you all, "unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Now look at here. Here comes the Christ. Even though it doesn't say Christ, it says, "And the government." And the government. Now we're talking about the Christ. "And the government," this child, this Messiah, this Savior, this Jesus, this Lord, "and the government will be upon his shoulder." He's going to rule. The Lord is going to rule. And we as Christians are praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Mighty God." He is the Mighty God. Lord, he's God. "Everlasting Father," that's the Godhead. You can't dissect the Godhead either. God is one, manifested in three persons. "Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then verse 7, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, talking about Messiah, talking about Christ, "of the increase," not just, don't limit Christ to Israel, "of the increase," even though that is so important. Israel is the chosen of God, the nation Israel. "But of his increase," verse 7, "of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So in our last 3 minutes, that was Isaiah 9. Well, I'm going to put a lot in these 3 minutes. Let's go to Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2, Psalm number 2, the second number of Psalms. So that's to the left of Psalms. We're going to Psalm 2, Psalm number 2. And when we look at the second number of Psalms, talking about Messiah, which has to do with the anointed one, the Christ, the King. Psalm 2, "Why do the nations," now if you don't mind, or circle in your Bible, or at least write it down, every time something comes up, it has to do with Christ. So we see, "Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings," okay, so I circle in my Bible the nations, and then I circle the kings of the earth, of the whole world, "the kings of the earth set themselves," and all that comes to pass in the book of Revelation, but it's even setting up today. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers," so you would circle rulers, because Christ has to do with kingdoms and ruling and nations. "And the rulers take counsel together," that's the earthly rulers and the earthly kings, "against the Lord," against the Lord, "and against his anointed." There it is, his anointed. That's the Christ. "Against," who's going to come up against the Christ? The kings of the earth. "Against the Lord and against his anointed," Christ, "saying, let us break their bands in pieces and cast away their cords from us." We have 1 minute. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet, this is God talking, the Father. Yet I have set my King, Jesus, on my holy hill of Zion. And then it goes on talking about the King. So you can read the rest of that this week on your own. Next, this is part one of our study, The Christ of God. Next week is part two. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We stand in all of you. And the hallelujah chorus, which came from the Bible, says, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And we say hallelujah as well. We praise you, Lord God, the three in one. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Lord willing, I'll see everyone next week for part two of The Christ of God. Read your Bibles. Everyone, read your Bibles. Keep on reading Luke, looking for Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well. Pray for one another.
Bless you.
Good morning.
And love you.
Love you.
And a thing can do about it.
And a thing can do about it.
Amen.
It's God's word.
God's word. Amen.
Shall never pass away.
Never pass away.
Makes no difference what people say. God's word shall never pass away.
Amen. Miss Sadie, a beautiful lesson, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Ah.
Yeah, I had a